T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
It's time to get the morning sports news on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome back to the Kia Studios on this Wednesday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sometimes I love our audience, but sometimes you guys take things a little bit too literally here. Today is Pi Day, and our Vision Computer poll is brought to you by Vision Computers, where the average hold time is less than 15 seconds, was about the fact that today is Pi Day.
Which is really infinity, 3.14 and beyond, but we're asking, what is the best type of pie, P-I-E, since most places offer discounts on different types of pies? Is it a pizza pie, a dessert pie, a chicken pot pie, or a Frito pie? And right now, 68% of people are going pizza, followed by 21% dessert.
Well, and 4% voted Frito, and people are saying Frito pie is not a pie. I know. I mean, technically, it's not a pie, but I mean,
it is a pie. But this poll, it is deliciousness. Yeah. It is a pie.
It's not really PIE day either.
But this poll, it is.
But this poll, it is.
Frito pie is awesome.
Frito pie is not a pie. Okay, all right. Yeah, we get it.
Why is it called Frito pie then? It's not a pie.
Because people like to play with words. There's this fancy wordplay.
Everybody's got a different definition of pie day. Just to say it.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, man. So let's catch you up. You know there's so much going on in the NFL, and we'll get back to the NFL throughout the rest of the show, throughout the rest of the day. Let's catch you up, though, on what's happened in other places, including the Atlanta Hawks. Last night, the Atlanta Hawks are playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. Russ is going off. The Hawks are actually in the game. Matter of fact, they're tied at 103-103 with 5 minutes to go against the Thunder. They're tied with 5 minutes to go, 103-103. That's about the last time the Hawks saw a basket, almost.
Now he's moving in on Damian Lee. Passes in the lane to Grant. Grant goes up and in, and a foul on the play. So the Thunder have scored the last 9 now after the game was tied.
Yeah, that's Steve Holman on 92.9 The Game. They scored 16 points in a row. Game was tied 103-103 with 5 minutes to go. With 1 minute to go, it was 119-103. Ay, 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 ay. Mike Budenholzer had to deal with Russ, who had his 100th career triple-double, 32-12-12 last night.
That's why they're a good team. You know, they start putting some shooting around him, and he's just such a force. But, you know, a lot of the game, I thought we did a good job, as good as you can do on Westbrook.
As for Westbrook, again, 100, and even Mike Budenholzer had to acknowledge that number.
When you're there every night for 82 games, whether you're covering it or writing about it or coaching it or playing in it, to bring it with that kind of energy, that kind of force, to average a triple-double and now to have 100 of them, it's a credit to him. He's a unique player that just has a huge impact on the game, just night after night.
Russ has 100 career triple doubles.
Yeah, you know what? It was only one quarter last night that the Hawks even had more points than Oklahoma City, and that was in the second quarter. But you got to like the way that this young team is still fighting, even down the stretch, John. I mean, you know, we knew going in that there was no chance they're going to be OKC, but you like the fact that this team is not giving up.
Well, yeah. You know, no Bellinelli, no Ilyasova, they're kind of gone. Yeah. No Bazemore now, he's out for the year. Bembry's been dinged up. Last night, Prince had 25. He's had 63 points in his last two games. So we're seeing Torian Prince stretch. John Collins had a couple of really nice plays. Had a big dunk last night off a follow that was a highlight kind of real dunk. But, again, it's just about the young kids. The Hawks are 20-48. And, you know, we got 14 games to go here.
And you got who's coming in tomorrow night? Dwight.
Charlotte.
Yeah, Dwight Howard. He's coming in. So, yeah, he's probably going to be coming in trying to act a donkey. So that's going to be, you know, it's a tough little road. Then they got the Sixers twice.
Mm-hmm.
And
Milwaukee coming up.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah.
And a lot of games coming up on the road, too, as they kind of head on out here. They'll go to Milwaukee, Utah, Sacramento, Golden State, Houston, and Minnesota. After the game against Charlotte, they play a six-game road trip that includes games at Golden State, at Houston, at Utah. Yeah, good luck with that.
They're still in it. Yeah, they're still in it.
Good luck with that. Man, that's brutal. That would be brutal if you're the number one seed. But the Hawks are 20-48, and the reason they're not in last place in the NBA is because Memphis has lost 18 games in a row. But they're not tanking. Okay? Just saying. 18 games in a row. But they're not tanking. All right. We see you, Memphis. We got you. So the Hawks in Charlotte. It is our Unity game tomorrow. Hawks.com/Unity for tickets. 7:30 tip at Phillips Arena. Hugh's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Man, that should be a fun night tomorrow night.
Yeah, Unity.
Aren't you going to do something fun out there?
Oh, man, I'm out there with a, what's his name?
Hot sauce.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. Listen, do not expect a whole lot of movement from me. Because with a name like Hot Sauce, I asked everybody in the meeting, why am I being the one set up for failure?
Hugh.
Yeah.
Do not spread your legs.
No, dude.
Don't try to guard him and get low because he will go through your legs and come back through. Do not.
You know what?
Trust me. He did me like that at Run and Shoot when it was open. And I'm way shorter than you, so imagine.
No, listen. Don't do that. I'm just going to stand there. Listen, do not expect me to do a whole lot of movement because I'm a big dude and he's probably a smaller dude. He is a smaller dude.
He's a smaller dude.
And, man, I'm not about to let him make a fool out of me.
You could Ackerman. You could go Ackerman.
No, John. I was specifically told not to touch him.
Oh, really?
So, okay. It's like, hey.
Don't touch the hot sauce.
Yeah, I can't touch the hot sauce, man. So, you know.
Don't drop low to guard him. I'm just telling you that.
Be like M'Baku from the Jabari tribe and grab him. No, I can't do that. I'm not going to embarrass myself. I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to, you know, get in a nice little crouching tiger stance.
That's what you're gonna mess up.
And I'm gonna let him go. I ain't gonna even move. I'm gonna do this. The old, like, just put your hands out like a wall.
Don't spread your legs wide. Just trust me.
I'm not gonna do that. But I kind of got to get low and play defense, though.
All right. Okay.
You can't look any worse than Darren Rovell looked the other day.
Yeah, he did not look good.
I think you should just treat him like Kiko Alonso treated Taylor Gabriel.
And I noticed also that Darren Rovell didn't want to go to Mercedes-Benz Stadium on a Sunday. I did notice that.
Because he wasn't no Chick-fil-A.
That's what I'm thinking.
He knew the Chick-fil-A wasn't over. He was like, why waste my time? He coming back on the day when the Chick-fil-A opened, though, I bet. He going to get some Chick-fil-A.
That'll be tomorrow night, 7:30 tip. We'll all be out there. Mike Bell, all of us will be out there. And we'll be, Hugh and I will be, matter of fact, if you're coming in off the CNN entrance and you're coming into the game, drop by, say hi as you're coming in, because Hugh and I will be right there to say hello to you for your Unity game. Hawks.com/Unity tickets available. For the game against the Charlotte Hornets. NCAA tournament is on. Last night, the first four in St. Bonaventure for the first time in nearly 50 years wins an NCAA 50. Tournament game.
The Bonnies have knocked off the Blue Bloods. St. Bonaventure winning a game in the NCAA tournament for the first time in nearly a half century. St. Bonaventure closing out UCLA here in Dayton. 65-58, the final score.
Yeah, that was Westwood 1. And by the way, I had to have to look this up. That may be the first time that St. Bonaventure's, won a tournament game since the Final Four where they played UCLA for the national title in 1970 for the national title. That was Bob Lanier against Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was Louis Cinder back then.
What is a Bonawolf?
I have no idea. Is that what they are, the Bonnies?
Yeah, the Bonawolves.
The Bonawolves?
Yeah.
I have no clue. If somebody out there knows, you can send us a tweet. Meantime, the other game, early game, and it went to Radford.
For the first time in school history, the Radford Highlanders are victorious in the NCAA tournament. Radford, the champions from the Big South, knock off the champions from the Northeast Conference, LIU Brooklyn, 71-61.
That was also Westwood 1. As Radford wins and advances, Radford now will advance to face Villanova. For St. Bonaventure, they will advance to face the Florida Gators. And Bo brings me up to speed. Back in 1970, St. Bonaventure did not play UCLA for the national title. They were in the Final Four. Now think about this Final Four and how big men were great. Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for UCLA. They beat St. Bonaventure. St. Bonaventure lost in the Final Four to Jacksonville. St. Bonaventure had Bob Lanier. Jacksonville had Artis Gilmore. Man, that's seven-footers aplenty all over the place. How about that?
Who did New Mexico State have? That's who UCLA beat in the other Final Four game.
I have no idea who New Mexico State had. I know that Alcindor was on UCLA, Lanier was on St. Bonaventure, and Artis Gilmore was on Jacksonville.
They must have had somebody good because that was when there was still a third-place game, and they went on to beat St. Bonaventure in the third-place game. So New Mexico
they must
State
have somebody pretty good. Tonight's a doubleheader, and you can hear it on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Texas Southern against North Carolina Central, beginning at 6:40, followed by Syracuse and Arizona State. By the way, one other quick note from the NCAA tournament. Big blow to the number one ranked Virginia Cavaliers, DeAndre Hunter, the ACC's sixth man of the year in the ACC tournament. Broken wrist. He's going to be out for the NCAA tournament. No DeAndre Hunter, and that is a major blow for the Virginia Cavaliers. College basketball as well, a couple of the headlines. Hugh, Thad Mott has been interviewed at Georgia for the Georgia job to see who is going to be the next head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've been a Ron Hunter guy, right? And I would like to see him talk to Ron Hunter.
I like his confidence. I really do. You know, I like the fact that he knows that he's going into this game the underdog, and there's not being a lot being expected from him and his team. But I like his confidence. I like his bravado.
Well,
and I wish him all the best. I wish him all the luck in the world, man. Wish him to win.
Right. The big story in the AJC this morning is Thad Mata just playing and toying with Georgia. You have Seth Emerson and Chip Towers at DogNation.com, the Columbus Dispatch, and the AJC all reporting that the deal that Thad Mata had to leave his buyout at Ohio State, okay, his buyout, it was like $9 million, but it's been broken down and prorated over the course of time. And part of the deal with the buyout is he has to at least appear that he's looking for other jobs or he loses the buyout. So there are people thinking that he's just out there because he was up for the Ole Miss job, now he's not anymore, that he's not going to look at the Georgia job, that he's just down here interviewing so he can say to Ohio State, because he loses his buyout if he doesn't look for a job.
I mean, that's a smart way to do it. But, I mean, you know, you shouldn't tour with a team that's looking at you. Like, it was obvious from the report, per reports, that he was their first choice. I know that Tom Crean name came up as well, but I think that Thad Mata was their first choice. And for him to be doing it like that, I mean, you can't really be mad at him for wanting to keep his money flowing. But, you know, hey, you got if you're George, you got to practice due diligence. You got to go see what he's talking about. You got to find out for sure. Maybe he's looking for the perfect storm for himself.
Well, I mean, you know, again, you know, if Thad Mata is just kind of toying with Georgia to keep his buyout alive at Ohio State, I don't know. Maybe he'll take the Georgia job. Maybe he's legitimately interested. Maybe he went to Athens and said, hey, you know what, this could be actually a pretty good job. You've got a, you know, wonderful stadium now. Stegman's been redone. You've got all the facilities and you're in the SEC. Maybe he does. I'm not trying to cast aspersions here. I'm just telling you what the reporting is that isn't it interesting that? And if that's the case, then I hope Athens would really look at Ron Hunter. It is time for you to have a chance for a signing bonus.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
tick. As the clock is ticking, tick, tock, tick, tock.
Is that T-I-C-K?
Yeah, but actually it's not tick, tock, right, because that would be T-I-C. It is tick like The Tick, the TV
show.
Yeah,
I watched The Tick the other day. Big fan of The Tick.
Tick, T-I-C-K. You have to 859 to text the word tick. T-I-C-K. No, we don't, by the way, these words are randomly generated. We don't pick them, right? Because we would probably pick pie or something. Tick to 72881. T-I-C-K to 72881. Do not text and drive. Pull into the racetrack. Just text ticked. We want you to win $1,000. T-I-C-K to 72881. Message to data rates may apply. In the national signing bonus, you have to 859. If you're randomly selected, after you text in, you're going to win $1,000. In the National Signing Bonus Contest. Some of the headlines this morning with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on what could be a very busy Wednesday. We are monitoring all the major sites and all the major Twitter feeds just to see if any news breaks this morning. There are a number of players. So much has happened overnight in the NFL. Kirk Cousins to the Vikings. We know now that Drew Brees has a new two-year deal in New Orleans. And as these deals happen, Muhammad Wilkerson goes to Green Bay. Jimmy Graham goes to, how's the Jimmy Graham thing going to work with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay?
I think it'll be good, John. I think that Aaron Rodgers has a good rapport with the guys that he throws the ball to. I think the thing you have to be concerned about with Jimmy is him being healthy. That would probably be my biggest concern, because it's obvious that when he's out there, he's productive. So you just want to make sure that you keep him healthy. And for whatever reason, I don't know about you, but it just feels like to me every year at the beginning of the year, it sounds like the Green Bay Packers are decimated with injuries and always limping to the playoffs. Like, they're always like a man of six down going into the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that team more than any other has been
decimated with injuries. It feels like that. So you just hope that with his injury history that he can come in and be productive and healthy for him.
Man, so the Green Bay Packers get Jimmy Graham and Muhammad Wilkerson, and they're not done yet. And so as some of these big names sign, what we're waiting for, defensive tackles. That's a position that just has not gone yet. And Ndamukong Suh, Dontari Poe, Sheldon Richardson, there's a lot of defensive tackles. Wilkerson kind of the first one of that big bunch of DTs to be signed as free agents. We'll see what happens with the other ones. Of course, we're also monitoring what's going to happen with players like along the defensive line, like an Adrian Claiborne, for example. And then we also have other guys that are coming onto the market because teams are having to let them go to clear cap space. Jordy Nelson came onto the market yesterday. Brent Celek came onto the market yesterday. Eagles cutting Celek, Packers letting go of Jordy Nelson. I know that Jordy Nelson may only have a year left, and I understand it's a salary thing, but boy, that's just – it's Danny Amendola going to the Dolphins just feels weird. Jordy Nelson going to another team, I don't know, it just kind of feels weird. You know, Danny Amendola was a Patriot. Jordy Nelson was a Packer.
Yeah, now that I would say more so the Danny Amendola one, because you would think that most of those Patriot guys would stay or be in a position to stay because, you know, they win so much. But, yes, that was kind of strange for him to go to Miami.
Joel Corey is a former agent. Joel Corey is also a capologist, and Joel Corey is an expert. So we decided, because of all of the news here, to bring Joel on, and we're going to do that live next and ask him all the pertinent questions like, which free agent's overpaid? And did Breeze get a good deal? And what's Ryan going to happen with Matt Ryan? We're going to ask all those questions to Joel Corey next.
Yes! Listen!
John and Hugh, mornings on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with John and Hugh. Of course, a lot going on in the NFL and free agency. So much and so many dollars being thrown around. We wanted to bring in an expert, CBS sports cap expert, former agent capologist Joel Corey, has been kind enough to agree to join us this morning on the WaveFord.com hotline. Break some of these stories down and really kind of get inside the numbers to understand what's taking place. Welcome to 92.9 The Game, Joel.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So, Joel, yesterday was reported that Kirk Cousins is going to sign a guaranteed deal, guaranteed all his money. Is this something that could potentially become the norm in the NFL?
No, I don't think it's the norm. Right now, you only have the first 21 picks in the draft that have fully guaranteed contracts, but that market is different than the veteran market. What I think it will do is it's going to increase the percentage of guaranteed money in a deal, and you're also going to see guys go for the shorter term 3-year deal, and there'll be select veterans who have enough leverage who can push for fully guaranteed contracts. I thought Andrew Luck should have been the guy to do it 2 years ago. The guy, if he wants to try to go that route, he could probably do it, is Aaron Rodgers first. And then I'm sure Tom Condon took a note of that, and I wouldn't be surprised if that comes up in the discussions for Matt Ryan.
Talking with Joel Corey about this, let's just discuss this about Matt Ryan. Could that be something that Matt Ryan could possibly do? I mean, what are you hearing? What are you hearing on the ground, Joel? Could we expect Matt Ryan to possibly get a fully guaranteed deal, and could it happen quickly?
I don't think this happens quickly. Well, your owner came out and made an interesting plea a couple of weeks ago that Matt Ryan needs to take one for the team, essentially, which if I'm Tom Condon, I'm offended by that, and I'm upping my offer because that's Matt Ryan's decision because the agent works for the player, not the other way around. But there isn't any reason why Matt Ryan isn't going to sign a deal which keeps him, it puts him in the same place in the salary hierarchy he was when he signed the current deal, and that's when Aaron Rodgers had already been done, which is second. So I expect him to, if Aaron Rodgers gets done soon, to come in right behind him. And if Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a new deal, he's going to be the highest paid player, at least temporarily.
You know what? It's interesting that you say that, B, and you've worked these contracts before. Just say the deal that Kirk Cousins signed, if you're Matt Ryan's agent, what's the least amount of money that you say we could potentially look at because of the Kirk Cousins deal?
Well, the first thing I'm doing is I'm taking the current deal and I'm adjusting it from the cap in 2013 to now, and that's going to put me a shade under $30 million. for the average, which is the least important thing of the deal. Mm-hmm. Now, assuming that Cousins is fully guaranteed at signing and it's not the first 2 years of fully guaranteed and then the third year or vest at the beginning of 2019, then you've had the amount of guaranteed money jump dramatically from the standard Condon set at $60.5 million with Matthew Stafford to almost $85 million. So that right there is your floor for what you have to guarantee at signing, and you could potentially, depending upon the length of the deal, look at $100 million in overall guarantees.
Mm. Talking with Joe Corey, he is CBS Sports cap expert and a former agent, trying to get inside some of these numbers. I mean, this has been ridiculous. Not ridiculous, but eye-opening the amount of money that teams are throwing around at these quarterbacks with all the competition trying to get Cousins and Keenum and whatnot here, Joel. Is it possible, though?
I'm going to put it in perspective in one way.
Okay.
These contracts aren't fully guaranteed, and when you've got guys, it's no, it's another sport, but James Harden, Russell Westbrook and company are making over $40 million per year, and you're going to have Bryce Harper probably sign some crazy $400 million 10-year or $500 million 10-year contract. So compared to the other two major sports, as you could say, they're three.
Right. I mean, of course, you know, those.
It's not close to that. So no, I always keep it in that perspective.
I get that, but those sports also don't have a cap. I mean, so I mean, I understand. I
get
what
NBA you're does. The NBA does, but it's a soft cap.
It's a soft cap, right? Baseball technically has, I guess, a version of a soft cap, but. Is it possible, though? What I find interesting here is you're seeing all these deals happen so fast and so furious, Joel Corey. I think teams are like overpaying sometimes, and without much competition, I think essentially they're bidding against themselves.
Yeah, that always happens in the first wave of free agency, that the first 2-3 days, it's always a seller's market, and you see some crazy deals that don't make sense. And the one last year that stuck out like a sore thumb to me was Matt Khalil, who hadn't done anything since his rookie year, getting 55 over 5 to be a, at best, mediocre left tackle. And then this year, the one which sticks out like a sore thumb is Sammy Watkins. I'm sorry, if you can't stay healthy, and then when you are healthy, and I know you got traded in training camp, you are the third leading receiver on the Rams, 600 yards, and I know they say the decoy is a deep threat. $48 million over 3, $30 million fully guaranteed at signing. It's nice to be a top five pick because you get the benefit of the doubt multiple times. The same, I guess, holds true for Sam Bradford, who can't stay healthy.
Right. We were looking at this too, Joel, about these quarterbacks out here. One of the things that Hugh and I were talking about earlier, because there's going to be at least 8 teams with new quarterbacks. You know, the Vikings have Cousins, the Broncos have Case Keenum, the Browns have Tyrod Taylor or a rookie, the Cards have Sam Bradford, the Redskins have Alex Smith, Chiefs have Pat Mahomes, Jets have Teddy Bridgewater to go with McCown and maybe a rookie, and the Bills will have a rookie. Do you see one of these quarterbacks, one of these 8 teams, that jumps out to you and say, this is going to work?
Oh, Minnesota, it better work for them because they got the NFC Championship with Case Keenum, and I don't think Keenum is remotely close to Cousins. There's a lot of pressure on Cousins because people criticized him for coming up small in big moments, that he had a chance to get the Redskins to the playoffs a couple of years and spectacularly failed in the regular season finale. So they have to at least get the NFC Championship this season, or he's going to be criticized more so than ever was in D.C. So that's the one I think that everyone's going to be scrutinizing more than anything else.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Now, there are some reports out there that this contract that Drew Brees is about to sign with the New Orleans Saints, that he took $10 million less. Joe Corey, why on God's green earth would anybody take $10 million less? Better known like a quarterback like Drew Brees, why would he do that?
Well, there's a guy that habitually takes a lot less than his market value, Tom Brady, and he's won championships, but he's unique because he may be the only guy that had to sign a prenup in the NFL because his wife makes more money than he does. I say that in jest. But Brees kind of undercut his leverage right after they were eliminated from the playoffs by saying, I don't want to go anywhere. Agents hate that because if you want to get your best deal, you've got to sometimes put your own team at risk. And his negotiations with the Saints have always been difficult for some reason or another. Mm-hmm. So he took away leverage by not being tempted to test the open market. I have no doubt that if he was open to leaving, the Jets would have opened up the vault, backed up a Brinks truck, and given him whatever he wanted. And then he could have leveraged what they were going to do in New York against New Orleans. And what was New Orleans going to do? Let him walk? He could have named his price to stay on a short-term basis, in my opinion. But he's probably looking at it from the standpoint that Father Time's going to catch up to me at some point. I'm 39. I've made $200 million through my NFL contracts already. I don't need every last dollar. Mm-hmm. It's a slight raise from his one-year extension that's just completed. So he didn't do the Tom Brady thing, but still, he did leave some money on the player, and that's his prerogative to do it.
Joe Corey, you're a cap expert for CBS. You tell me, let's look at the Atlanta Falcons. What do you see in terms of the space they have now? What do you see them doing? You know, one of the questions I have is, could Dontari Poe possibly even be back with the Atlanta Falcons? And any good leads on who they might be looking at aside from the guys they have?
You've got about $8.5 million of cap space. You put second-round tenders on Allen and Garland, so that's eating up almost $3 million of cap room right there because the tender counts even though you're unsigned. You need Dontari Poe's market to be soft for him to come back because you're making a choice. You're probably only going to pay one guy on the interior. Grady Jarrett is in a contract year. He gets the pass rusher. Those guys make more money than guys who don't from the interior. You've got to do an extension for your left tackle, Jake Matthews. That's going to be very expensive. So you're rooting for Nate Solder to decide, I want to stay in New England and take less money because he's better than Solder. That will set his floor, and I expect that to be way up there, if not the highest-paid offensive lineman in football, what Solder's going to get. You really have to – you have guys who are young that are very good defensive players that are on rookie contracts. You're going to be in Seattle. Bobby Wagner can't keep everyone in position with these guys. So you really aren't in a position to go out and get an impact player. You're going to need, once the secondary phase of the free agency start in the next couple of days, hope guys have overpriced themselves and maybe get some guy to come in as a bargain. But you're really in take care of your own mode. And one of that is you can pick up, depending upon how you structure Matt Ryan's deal, anywhere from 7 to about $12 million of cap space this year. It all depends on whether you go with that signing bonus, option bonus concept that you did on his last deal and you did with Desmond Trufant, or you just give him a pure signing bonus, which would probably be bigger than Matthew Stafford's, which is a record $50 million signing bonus, same agent, Tom Condon. So you're not in go out aggressively improve the team. You're looking at the big picture. You take care of our own and supplement in the secondary phases of free agency.
Well, that's what we were kind of figuring. Joel Corey, thank you very much for giving us the insight.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Joel Corey, you can find him on Twitter. He is a capologist and cap expert for CBS.
I feel so much smarter now. I know all these numbers running around in my head.
Busy weekend ahead. We got Hawks. We got NCAA tournament. And Atlanta United back on Saturday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Greg Garza of United joins us live next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game. You can also find all the latest on 99thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The National Signing Bonus.
Listen weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. for the code word. Hear it, and you'll have to the top of the next hour to text the code word to 72881. The game is everywhere.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is The Morning Show with John and Hugh on a Wednesday. A lot going on in the NFL. We'll bring you up to speed here in a few minutes about the latest that we're hearing and some of the news is potentially on the ground for today on NFL Free Agency Day. But as we look ahead to this weekend, NCAA tournament, Hawks are going to be playing a lot of big games. And, of course, Atlanta United back in action on Saturday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against Vancouver Whitecaps FC, coming off that 72,000-people record at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
72,000. 35 people.
Yeah, a lot of people to see Greg Garza play soccer. Largest crowd ever in MLS history and the fourth largest in the world on Sunday. Hey, Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Pleasure being here.
Greg, what was that like to play in front of 72,000 people knowing that and knowing that this soccer thing in Atlanta is not a fluke? What does that feel like?
Man, it's crazy. I think just to build on what we have last year with the fan base that we've had here in Atlanta has been absolutely incredible. There are no words that can describe the feeling when you walk onto that field and have 70,000-plus fans screaming for you and cheering you on the whole entire game.
Do other players from other teams, do you sense that they're at all intimidated, or are they just envious?
I would say a little bit of both. I think that intimidation factor, that home field advantage, that home crowd advantage will always play a huge part. You can definitely tell that within this league, the MLS, that usually do super well at home, and the away games are pretty tough. So I think, we have that. We definitely have that home field advantage here for us.
Talking with Greg Garza, of course, Atlanta United left back as they get ready for Vancouver United. Had to be really nice, though. I mean, you had that. Look, Greg, we all understand that the showing in Houston was not indicative of who you are.
Fluky.
Yeah.
Fluky.
To get on the board and then have things start rolling downhill for you, it had to be pretty nice.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, to get that first goal and after that just to feel a bit more relaxed. All of us, I think, was a big confidence booster, and I think that'll help us build off the chemistry that we're still building for the rest of the season as well, and hopefully can build off that first win.
I know Tata implemented a different formation. I think it was a 3-5-2. Is that something that we're going to see more of this season?
Who knows? I think using it at the right time will definitely be a challenge for us, but I think we use that perfect formation for that specific game, and it definitely worked for us, depending on what side we'll be facing. But I'm glad that we're able to train more formations to be able to use against different teams.
You know, I want to go back to what we were talking about with the MLS record. You said it twice last year. You said it and broke it again here just last Sunday. Greg, I mean, you played for the U.S. national team. Do we get a sense here in Atlanta? I mean, now that you're fully, right, you're fully, what's the term I want to say? You're fully Atlanta United. What's the term I want to say that you're ours now for good or something like that, right?
Are you talking myself in particular?
Yes, yes. You're Greg.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, for sure. I think that I think from the very first day, my family and I have felt very comfortable within this city. And I mean, at the end of the day, I think that's the most important thing is having the family happy. You know, we call ourselves Atlantians, and my second child was born here, so I think there's a bit of pride that comes along with that as well. And I think that for myself in particular, I love this team. This is a crest that I wear that I bleed for every single day, and definitely on the field even more.
Right. So now that you're fully vested here, and you are an Atlantan, and welcome to it because it's a lot of fun. You'll love it over the rest of your life here. Is that you look at Atlanta and you look at this crowd and you look at this facility and you start to think from the U.S. national team perspective and from the world stage perspective, is there any reason for us not to believe we got the MLS All-Star Game coming in here? Is there any reason for us not to believe that this is going to become Atlanta is at the moment trending hard towards becoming a soccer capital?
Oh, for sure. I think with the numbers and statistics playing a part right now, I think we probably are one of those capitals at the moment with the amount of people that we've attracted, and it's not something that we've just attracted just within the city, but all around. You know, I think I have old friends from Mexico telling me they were watching the game and they couldn't believe how packed the stadium was and the fan base and how incredible it looked from afar. And you have so many people wanting to come to this city just to see an Atlanta United soccer game. So I think that tells you a lot on how much this sport is growing and how much this city is doing for that.
Atlanta United against Vancouver Whitecaps FC on Saturday. The game will be on our sister station, WAOK, with coverage beginning at 7, and Mike Connie on the call at 7:30 with Jason Longshore as Atlanta tries to make it back-to-back wins against MLS competition here. You know, you start to wonder, the world starts to take notice, as we said. It's amazing to me, Greg, in a way, because suddenly MLS, which is this kind of forgotten little league over here, I'm seeing tweets over the weekend from Bundesliga, which is in Germany, that's the big league there, from the Premier League, from their official Twitter accounts going, wow, what in the world is going on in Atlanta?
It's crazy. Yeah, as I said, I have friends from Mexico wanting to travel here and be able to see a game, and I think everyone around the world wants to be involved in something like this. I mean, the stadium speaks for itself. I mean, we call it a spaceship. You know, it's something that, you know, people want to go and see, and why not go see an Atlanta United game and see the crowd hopping as much as it is and cheering for us the whole entire game. So I think the adrenaline aspect of that is also there as well.
I got a question for you. When do you think the crowd is going to actually be able to sit down? Because, you know, the last time I was there, man, like, listen.
You have to tell them to, man, because my wife is sitting there as well, and she can't see the camera with my 4-year-old child, man. So it's tough. And she has a baby in her hands as well. So sometimes it's difficult to see the game. My kid has to sit on, just stand on the chair and be able to watch it. But, man, it's awesome. And I love that feeling that everyone's cheering. It was the same thing for us at Bobby Dodd. probably a more enclosed area. It was probably even a bit shakier at Bobby Dodd, but I mean, Mercedes-Benz, you can't compare.
You know what? You hear that, fans? Hey, he said, sit down. Got to sit down. Let his child watch the game because he cannot see.
I don't know that that's happening.
Yeah, because, I mean, please. No, he said it with all due respect. Could you please, Greg Garza said, could you please sit down so my baby can watch his daddy play?
He can watch it on the big screen, man. That's what they got it for, right?
Hey, Greg, give me 30 seconds on Vancouver. What to expect on Saturday?
To be honest, I think it's another revenge game for us. You know, they definitely handled us pretty well at their stadium last year and in Vancouver, and we suffered a bit on set pieces. So I think that with the amount of height that they have and a lot of athleticism that they carry within the players that they have, I think that's definitely something we have to concentrate on this week in training, and hopefully we can get, as you said, a back-to-back win and a little bit of revenge on both teams that beat us last year.
Greg, you're always welcome. I appreciate it, and best of luck to you. And we'll be watching, and 70,000 will be there, or whatever it's going to be on Saturday. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Actually, I don't think it's a 70,000 game. But anyway, I have said that. Greg Garza joining us on the WayForward.com hotline. Vancouver and Atlanta United, Saturday at 7 on our sister station, WAOK. When we get back, very latest, and there is news breaking this morning. Not huge news, but we are going to update you because there's been some movement in the NFL this morning with some named players. We'll tell you who's headed potentially where on the opening day of free agency. We'll do that next in a moment with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can always check out the very latest on 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.